Just give the average Joe an insight of what's it like playing at this level.
Friday night's always been a personal favourite of mine. You've got the long weekend. Everyone's just wanting that release, that stimulation, just to watch a macabre sport of gladiatorial confrontation. And you feed off that as athletes. Like, you love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another Drop Kickoff. It is me in the hot chair again, your favourite Nick of this podcast and your favourite host. As always, we've got Nathan with us. Hi, Nathan.
Hello. You're also my favourite Nick as well.
Thank you, Nathan. You're my favourite Nick.
Oh, you bitch. You fucking bitch.
And you can hear those squeals coming through your speakers. That is the other Nick.
You're back
from writing a book or something like that.
I'm gone for 3 or 4 weeks, and immediately Nathan is just over there just sucking you off, or immediately. Jeez Louise. I didn't realize
Nothing wrong with men admiring another man.
Watching. I'm just saying it just makes me laugh that
Always room.
We can't not have a podcast without it being like some sort of double entendre or something mildly inappropriate coming through at some point. So I'm just getting it out of the way. You know, like the
Stop
acoustic battle in YouTube.
If you bring up the double entendre, does that mean you bring up the double entendre? We're all about a schedule tonight. I'm not sure why, but we're all about a schedule. So I'll kick off the first question, the question of the week. Bit hard to say this one, but the last game this weekend. Stick with me here. I'll articulate it if everyone can understand. Last game of this round this weekend is Reds versus Blues, which we'll talk about a lot later. So Reds versus Blues, colours. You could call it the colour derby, the purple derby. My question to you guys is, what kind of most unusual connection could you make between two sides in Super to make a derby out of? So, for example, you can't just say Fiji and Moana because they're both like Islander teams, or you know, Brumbies and the Waratahs because they're both close. I'll go first here. I've got an idea. It's the Brumbies and the Hurricanes, both from the capitals of each country, and they could be called the Constitution Cup or the Act of Rugby, maybe. And we're talking about this before. Maybe, as Nick said, it could be a metal bit of paper, and when you win, you got to drink off the metal bit of paper by pouring it down.
Yeah, like From Dusk Till Dawn style. Like, yeah, you just pour tequila down it or a beer, and you have to like drink as much water as you can. And yeah, there's probably some sort of metaphor about the losing team has to do it because they have to eat their words about the.
Paper on the field.
That's what we've been working on the past couple of weeks. That's good. That's good.
Appreciate it's game recognizing game, Mr. Williams.
I'll leave Nathan to come and kind of come up with his. We know he's always racking his brains. But Nick, you had a pretty good one too.
I did. It's technically, I think. We have to make a query as to whether the Force and the Rebels fit into this because, I mean, they're kind of the added-on extension clubs, the newer clubs of the Australian side. But I think this is the most wasted marketing opportunity, Force versus Rebels, the Star Wars derby. Like, surely they play on, May the 4th every year. There's such an opportunity there. I reckon the giant, like the statue could be like a giant bronze emboldened Darth Vader helmet, massive head that the boys have to drink out of, and then whoever had the worst performance has to wear it for a week or something like that. I feel like it is just such a wasted opportunity. You could get some of that Disney coin in, get the Rebels back on their feet financially because Disney is competing with Google for world domination right now. And I reckon you could do something so fun with that. Get stormtroopers turning up.
With it. Winning captain has to speak like Yoda in the press conference.
Absolutely. The umpire. God, I feel like now I'm sounding like the referee has to has to be in like Jedi robes. You could do something so cool with that. All shithousery aside, like the Star Wars Cup or like a TIE fighter trophy. That would be fun as well.
Yeah.
Like, just a big, massive TIE fighter.
All right, Nathan, let's hear yours.
Basically, what I've gone for, sort of looking for something different. I'll go Western Force against the Fijian Drua. You could go the distance derby, but the A-League already have that. So I like the idea, but I want to sort of come up with something my own. So it's a battle of the oceans. The Indian Ocean against the Pacific Ocean. Loser has to drink a glass from their own ocean, off the opposite ocean. It may cause poisoning. It may cause some damage. But, hey, that's more motive to win the game.
No. You could get them to drink like the worst sort of beverage from each, like the kind of the most interesting flavor tasting beverage. So like, if you're in Fiji, you drink some kava. If you lose,
and in Perth,
if the Drua lose, they have to drink emu bitter, which we all know is the worst tasting beer on the planet.
Sorry, just about kava and drinking kava. Totally random, but did you see that a politician, I think it was a national from the National Party, went over to Fiji and he didn't understand kava?
He thought
it would be like mid-strength. And there's a photo of him just slumped in his chair, maxed out. And it's like, how much did you have there? On about five cups? And it's like, bro, it's not
here. I can handle this stuff. I can handle your weak kava stuff, mate. Give me another cup.
Nationals.
Yeah, big country areas there. Nick, don't antagonize our audience. I'm sure most of them are from the country, coming in after sharing their sheep. good. I like the ocean.
That's the Welsh.
The ocean cup's a good one. I like that.
The other idea I had was something with like the Waratahs and Brumbies. I know it's already a rivalry, but and like change up the cup. So if I'm not sure, how familiar with the A-League and the F3 Derby Cup?
It's literally
a bit of the road in between. So if we could like, even if you do like Blues versus Chiefs, because they're so close together, whatever road that is between them, just get a bit of that road and have them play off of that every year.
The Hobbit Cup. Like it's the Hobbit Cup. So they have to play, like whoever wins has to... Whoever, like, take a piece of it. Like, they have to. They win. The prize is a massive hobbit door from the set of Lord of the Rings.
It's a thing. You just win a ring, a giant ring.
I was
thinking that, but like, I feel like a hobbit door is much more impractical and therefore more suitable as a trophy to win.
That's true, and that'd be great to drink off as like the sort of like the sled coming down. Because you've got to think about drinkability here.
Yeah, and that's right. And you'd have to drink. I mean, like, there is a whole bunch of like ales and stuff there that you can drink at the film set out there, and they're all actually quite good. So you could also throw that out there. There would be a good beverage or two you can drink. But yeah, a Lord of the Rings or Hobbit sponsored derby between Waikato and Auckland, I reckon that'll work.
Waikato, soon to be Western Sydney, if I had my way. anyway, nice to bring up old wounds. Let's get it. Let's crack onto the serious stuff. Nathan, our esteemed professional, the only professional on this podcast. Let's hear your wrap up for the week.
I'm just going to start the timer.
Yeah, it's me. Sorry, that's my hint. That's my hint to start the timer.
We delegate here at the DKO. I host. Nick times. Nathan speaks.
It's literally the story of our entire lives, isn't it, man? It's like you host and I'm doing all the shit behind the scenes. Okay, Nathan, are we ready?
We're ready, ready.
All right, you start in 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, we start in Suva as the Hurricanes took on the Fijian Drua in Fiji. Devin Flanders. Got the Hurricanes off to a great start as they survived the heat. Xavier Numa, then close the game out for the Hurricanes in sweltering conditions. We then head to Queensland as the Reds take on the Highlanders. The Highlanders got hunted down by Paisami as he scored the opener before setting up the second to claim the game. We then move on to Saturday's games in Auckland as the Blues took on the Brumbies. Hoskins and Tutu scored to 2-2 times, as the Blues ran away with the contest. Kurt Eklund asked the Brumbies, can I borrow a feeling? As they went on to whip for a thumping victory to close out the round. Fuck, I stuffed it up. Can I start again?
Nah. You've got 10 seconds left to talk Super Rugby W.
Captain Miller saved the day for the Waratahs as Desi went in for a hat-trick. Adelina David Booner destroyed the Force as it's a Waratahs draw final. Horton hit a try line for the Force as Agent Carter got them over the line. Fuck!
Finally, we caught him!
I knew I was stretching myself too far with the Blues ones, and then I bottled it. I'm out of practice.
Like the Brumbies, it all fell apart once you got to the Blues.
Yeah.
I'd offer a formal apology to anyone listening to that. That was, are we better for next time? And, you know,
impressive. I'm optimistic of the future. Yeah, that was great. Thank you, Nathan.
Not great. I'm sorry again.
It was great, right?
We'll get better.
Let me just do my segue.
Gambridge.
Some of us, not named Nick Vasiliev, are optimistic about Australian rugby's future. We could go through all the games and all that stuff. We're not going to do that. We're just going to hit the nub and talk about why this year feels different. It does feel different to me and maybe to a lot of people. You know, Aussie teams get the win. Look, the Rebels are playing the Crusaders away this weekend, and there's quite a genuine chance that they could beat the Crusaders. And sorry, I shouldn't just say talk about that without acknowledging the Force beating the Crusaders, which is the first time, I believe, Nathan, that they've beat the Crusaders.
Third time,
but definitely their biggest win.
Yeah.
Played really well. But, why does this year feel different? Let's talk about it. I guess, Nathan, you're taking the positive side, Nick, you take the negative side. Mm-hmm. Let's start with positive first. Nathan, why does it feel different?
Actually, there's a lot more depth around the teams this year. I feel like a lot of the teams, we may have criticised how they went about recruiting, going for overseas players or, you know, maybe not going for the biggest names. But I think what's happened comparatively to New Zealand side of things is a lot of players stayed that might have gone away in past World Cup years. I think what you've seen, particularly with the Crusaders, is that sort of excess of leadership that just hasn't sort of been filled by those younger players. Whilst you look at the sort of comparative load from the Australian side, there's not that many that haven't either been replaced by people coming back. You look at Rebels lost Matt Phillip, but got Lurkan Salkai-Loto straight in there. You know, the Reds found themselves missing Taniela Tupou, but have found great replacements in Tumunga Allen and Alex Hodgman. There's been a lot more like-for-like replacements, and even clubs that might not have at the start, like the Force, have now come in and got, you know, the Sam Carlers and Kirtley Beals of the world. Guys that have significantly added value. So when you are in those close situations, they have the experience just to make a difference. So I think that's why this year it's different. This year we're a bit more calmer, under pressure, a bit more confident around closing out games, and I think that's just starting to show it when you get into those sort of tough areas where I think we've, again, this is not coming off any sort of statistical background whatsoever. This is, again, a pure vibes thing, which is rare for me. But I feel like this year, compared to last year, with the results or the sort of where the game's been in the balance in the sort of 40-60th minute, I don't think you'd find much changed. I think there's a lot more calmness around closing out games, and that's been a difference outside of those teams wearing blue. So I think that's the whole thing for me, is that experience coming through, plus, you know, a couple more younger players that have, you know, had a bit of experience, whether it was Darby Lancaster in sevens or, you know, Charlie Cowell in the Brumby system. Like, these guys have now sort of matured and can actually go on and, you know, express themselves at Super Rugby level without having to have that 8-10 games to really find their level and, you know, get bashed around by the Keys, which is, you know, stuffed up confidence in the past.
Interesting argument you've proposed there, Nathan. Now, Nick, I'd like to hear what you think. Nathan's talked a bit about there about closing out games. I can think of Tane Edmed not kicking that penalty against the Highlanders. Talked about a lot of talent. Also, we've talked about coming through, but also leaving New Zealand. Nick, there might be something there to be cynical about.
I mean, like, it's really easy to be cynical. I mean, that's kind of how it feels being, like, a fan in general. But so I feel like I should say a pretext about feeling pessimistic. Short answer, too early to tell. Long answer, honestly, it has been a better year. Let's not kid ourselves. I think at round eight, we had actually eked the Rebels' victory over the Highlanders saw Australian sides equal their combined 2023 tally over all Kiwi sides, which to do that by round eight is a fantastic achievement. I mean, obviously, it was still a very small number. And I know that 2022 was only one more than that. And obviously, with the weekend that just gone, we've now overtaken that. And I think this is now our best year against the Kiwis in the best part of probably, I think probably since, arguably since 2015, because there was a very long period from 2016 to 2017 where we didn't win a game at all. It was like a 26-game losing streak we had. So are we better? Absolutely. And all of Nathan's points in regards to the player depth and the player cohesion and the right headspaces and a lot of those players being a lot more match smart and match ready, yes, that is all correct. And I do think that the Wallabies will be a lot better off for it. But in terms of actually being a threat to the competition, the jury is still very much out. And to be honest, I think it kind of is decided. It will kind of really have a clear answer for it when this round comes up this weekend, which we'll get to a little bit later. It's very clear to me, even though a lot of our wins have come against a Crusaders side that are significantly firing. I mean, two wins to the Waratahs against the Crusaders, which I think is the first time. Has anyone ever beaten the Crusaders twice in a year? I don't even think so. We'd have to go back to the debut, the very first year when they came last. The Force have beaten them. They're clearly misfiring. They're clearly in a period of major significant transition and things aren't working. And the other option is the other team that we're genuinely beating the most is the Highlanders. And the Highlanders, we're all in agreement that when it came to coming into this season, they're the team that was probably the most, we'd argue, was the one that had to do the most amount of work to improve and get better. So Australian sides in general, we can come up against arguably those weaker Kiwi sides and be competitive. But the real pace setters right now are the Hurricanes, the Blues, and the Chiefs. The only two games that I've seen us be genuinely convincing and really offer a challenge, I mean, we've only managed one win over those three sides, which was the Reds knocking off the Chiefs in Brisbane. The previous week before as well, we should recognise that the Reds were with the Hurricanes all the way through. And, of course, the Tars went down by 2 points against the Blues. But let's not ignore the fact that there hasn't been a huge amount of other promising results. I mean, the Rebels have been blown out of the water. The Brumbies have been blown out of the water twice, and they're supposed to be our strongest side. So it is a game changer, and it is a genuine contender that the day that the Brumbies roll up to somewhere like Eden Park and actually are in that game until the end of it. Because even though I think we are definitely improving, this competition only really comes alive when and shakes off all of the doubters when a team outside of New Zealand wins it. And that is the key challenges that we really face right now. So am I convinced? Am I optimistic? The jury is still out.
All right, a bit of a rambling statement from the defence there. So, Nathan, I will allow you perhaps 50 words in a rebuttal and your closing statements, and then we'll cross over to our defence for his closing statements.
Like he makes good points. Those wins haven't come yet, but we're now, I said, with this round and next, where we play mainly Kiwi sides, this is the best position that we've ever been into to capitalize on the sort of form of the last 3 or 4 weeks, where four teams come into this week with a winning record and really start putting those close games into wins against the Blues and Hurricanes and those top teams.
And Mr. Vasiliev, your closing statements, these are intended to be brief. Mr. Vasiliev. Sorry.
I know you've gone all serious on me now. I mean, for me, the next two rounds are the key. If Australia can manage, I think if Australia can manage at least one or two scalps, key scalps, I'm talking Hurricanes, Blues, Chiefs. If we can pull off at least a couple of wins and consolidate a few teams in the top of the ladder, then we have our answer of actual progression.
If okay, I'm ready to make my adjudication.
Oh, cruel.
both well-rounded arguments. However, this is a court of law, and neither of you were adversarial enough.
You didn't give us the chance of me. I was about to turn on Nathan in school.
Too reasonable and conversational. Therefore, you're both wrong.
Nathan, fuck you.
And you're both equally correct.
You're an idiot. And your opinions are all wrong. Is that better?
I understand you have an opinion.
And
your opinion,
you have to pay costs to me, the judge.
For wasting your time.
Yes, exactly. But
we just turn on Nick. But it's you judge.
You can't.
I like this. This is a new rule. Let's rebel against the judge. Get a new judge. Fuck off.
My judgment is this is probably the best season in years, and it's really exciting. But I hope that the Hurricanes and Blues and maybe Chiefs don't run away with it. But can't you just see how cool this is when the Kiwis aren't doing what we call a Brumbies playing in Auckland to the Australian teams every weekend like they have for the past 10 years?
Oh, yeah, it's better.
It's also very hard to compete. I know the Reds got Les Kiss, but when you have literally the former Scotland coach Vern Cotter, and a couple of years before that, the ex Wales coach Warren Gatland playing just a coaching NZ super teams. It's a bit, it's a bit,
an uphill battle.
Daunting. Yeah. Uphill battle. Hey, New Zealand, we know you want to be the best, but
we shouldn't chase excuses though.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, it's not chasing excuses. It's just like, damn, like, that's, how can you compete? Like, it's hard. It's uphill. It's a tough battle made tougher. I really feel that Super Rugby starts to have that helicopter view. As much as Kiwis can think they can go away and play with Japan or play with South Africa, they can't. They need us. Doesn't matter how bad we are. They need us. Like, we are too close to them. No, but we're too close to them. We have all the Kiwis. I think there's as many Maoris in Australia as there are in New Zealand now, or something crazy like that.
Look it up.
There's like a sizable majority of, there's a sizable population of people claiming Maori descent in Australia.
Are you going to Google it, Nathan? Are we going to take the judge down?
Yeah.
I love that the defense and the offense are now just straight targeting the judge.
Are we conspiring?
Conspiring against the judge, but I mean, like,
yeah.
I think that Australia came into this year with a bit more of a head start because we have more settled sides and more settled teams.
Yeah,
and not as many coaches changing over.
So that's like another worry, right? Like, so
yes, it is. Like, will this continue next year after? Because there's a lot of talk. You know, there's, for all intents and purposes, the Kiwis still have a very strong system, and they could leapfrog us.
Yeah, are they playing the long game, and this is just a blip? But I think, the Reds have improved immensely. And you know, Brad Thorne was never the right coach. You look at the Waratahs, and they've won 2 games this year against Crusaders. Fantastic. And it's so easy to be caught up in that. But it's also like, you know, You never said the same thing twice, you know?
For context, everyone who's in an audio podcast, Nathan just put in the comments, it's not even close, laugh my ass off.
There are 170 Maori people who speak Maori living in Australia. There's about
170, just 170.
170,000. There are 904,000 the Maori ethnic population in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
2013. You looked it up on Wiki.
All right. Let's look at Wiki. We're using census data. The 2021 census showed 170,000. The 2018 New Zealand census showed 775,000. So even still, they're 100% more than. You've made some.
What has this podcast become?
No. What I'm trying to say is that the immigration to Australia from New Zealand is so large that the native population of New Zealand, so not just like British New Zealanders, blah, 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 it's so large that it's still a significant percentage of the Maori population. That's it. Of the people who claim Maori descent, that's all.
You 100% more said more. That's what
threw me. We need to rewind the tape and see what he said.
It's a solid percent. It's probably about 15 to 20% are in Australia right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's like huge, right? Anyway. Back to my general point. I just think the Kiwis really want to launch off, and Nathan could talk about this. They want to launch off and do stuff with Japan. They kind of want to ditch Australia. There was all that gear a couple of years ago about how the Kiwi board looked down on the Australians. I think that was pre-Hamish or at the start of Hamish's reign. That was all coming out.
It's about mid-McLennan.
Yeah, and I feel that it's this part where it's kind of like, you know, it's like when you're at high school and you're in year 10, you're playing the year 7s, and you kind of got to go, okay, well, we got to go easy on them for a fair competition. And look, you can say all about high performance, but it's impacting it so much. Look at how well the Warriors are going because they're in a competition that is competitive.
I don't think it's a year 10 versus year 7 situation. I think when you've lost as many people as New Zealand has after the World Cup, not just players, but coaches.
Generally, I mean, it's a year 10 versus year 7 situation. It was a year 10 versus year 7 situation in Auckland, Nick.
I mean, yes, that was...
We don't
need to remind me. I already know, darling. But I'm saying is like...
Well.
I think it's more of a situation of the gap in some way has closed. We've gotten a little better. They've also lost a bunch of talent. But it's not a case of resting on your laurels per se. We can say, we can get wins over the Highlanders and the Crusaders because, yes, they're the teams that are struggling the most. But if it's a game changer and the comp really comes alive when you've got the Reds or a Brumbies or even a Rebels, because the Rebels are playing pretty well, actually, you know, not only routinely challenging the best Kiwi sides, and we're talking the pace setters here, but beating them. And really showing themselves to be that strong. I think that's the key point here. I think a lot of folk probably in New Zealand, I mean, I was actually editing a league podcast a little earlier today, so boot it, you can boo me. You can boo me. But it was a discussion with two folks in New Zealand who are doing a comparison of league to union, and basically on your point about the Warriors. What are they doing so well? Because they're getting like massive crowds in Auckland, and they have a real dominance of Auckland. Whereas if you look at Blues games, I mean, how many folks were at the Eden Park match against the Brumbies? There weren't a huge amount. And I think there is a resting on your laurels situation happening in New Zealand a little bit, because a lot of New Zealand is very much driven about
the All Blacks.
It's about the All Blacks, though. It's purely about the All Blacks. And if the All Blacks are doing well, then everything is good. And weirdly enough, it's probably similar with the Wallabies. But it's very much about, you know, the All Blacks doing well, then everything is fine. And, of course, that's now being increasingly challenged over the last couple of years with the dominance of Ireland, South Africa winning the World Cup twice.
So the whole thing, just to sort of interject the argument, a lot of firstly, what gets mad about the Warriors and their success? They're one team in one country. Like, yeah, no yeah. shit. They should have been selling out games a long time ago. The fact that they haven't is baffling to me.
Before we begin, hey, Nick, who's your favourite Nathan?
Ever. Nathan Bracken, probably.
Fair answer.
He's Sharpie. I thought you were going to say probably Sharp.
Oh, yeah, Sharp's pretty cool. Yeah, he's all right. Went straight to cricket. Yeah, right. Sharpie goes all right. Sorry, Sharpie. Like, you're definitely the second best Nathan I know.
It's Williamson for me.
See, that's why he's my favorite Nick.
Anyway, moving on. Some really, really cool news about the Wallaroos being sponsored by Cadbury for the next 9 million years or something like that. Nathan, could you tell us more?
Yeah, so it's a 6-year deal, basically going to the 2029 World Cup. Basically, as part of this whole
thing. I was off by about 8,999,000,000.
You're close enough.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Basically, it's part of sort of this whole roadmap of trying to get the Wallaroos to professionalism. You know, it's just sort of, there's been steady increases in investment, trying to get players close to the professionalism. And, you know, as sort of Phil Ward admitted, you know, essentially making up for lost time, really, about sort of around the sort of state of the program and getting everything together. So, like, getting a Cadbury deal on board for 6 years, like, I think it's probably, it brings, you know, decent exposure, decent money into the program, and just kind of, as a couple of players says, it brings expectations now that, hey, we're not just a side that runs out and goes, oh, the Wallaroos are playing. That's nice. Good for them. It's like, no, we want to compete. We want to win. We want to, you know, get regular scalps like we did against France and, you know, not be seen as these upsets who, oh, well, at least they're trying. Like, they're like, no, this is the time we've got the backing. We've got the funding. We've got the full-time coach we've asked for. We've got the funding we've asked for. Results have to come now.
So how much money is it actually? Are we allowed to know that amount? Yes, because I know that it's a sizable increase in terms of actual sponsorship money in terms of getting the team more professionalized.
I'm not sure about the exact amount, but your father, Christy Doran, did say it will edge towards seven figures by the time the 29 World Cup arrives. So
yeah, I know. He didn't specify. I'm like, oh, come on, man.
I don't have the exact number, but I'm guessing it'll be a gradual increase, year on year.
I will say that it was super cool seeing the announcement event. And they had a bunch of Wallaroos on hand as well as a bunch of female rugby players as well. And it was just super cool to see, you know, like the likes of Piper Duck in the new Wallaroo gold jersey with Cadbury looking fantastic. And it's good to, I think she did drop a quote, which was talking about how it feels like such a contrast to, you know, this time last year when a whole bunch of Wallaroo players felt like they penned a letter to Rugby Australia saying, oh, you know, we definitely don't feel like we're viewed as a priority. And I love that there was a good response from
Piper. Is that the letter signed by the past 15 captains, or am I thinking of another
letter? No, different letter. Different letter. God, that's how many letters there's. That's how many letters there's been. Hey, not from Saw.
This isn't Royal Saw getting themselves up. On that letter as well, I think a lot of this has just sort of come down to the fact that I think that letter came around because it just wasn't communicated well enough. Like, speaking to enough people, like, this has been on board in terms of getting more sponsors, getting this sort of shit in line, but it was just a case of, I think you look at Matilda, when the Matildas happened, you look at, you know, the first sort of wave of it and you go, that's great, like, but we need more now. Give me, let's get this going now, let's get this sort of, and I think that's where the frustrations came in. Also, the shit Eddie Jones was able to get, was sort of rushing through as well and ultimately got away with in terms of that budget blowout. Like, there were valid points there, but it's just a case of, I think, an organisation just looking to sort of keep to the roadmap.
Yeah, I guess the difficult thing there is probably in their case, you can see all this. You know, you're not in an organisation and you see all this kind of boys club energy, let's say.
Absolutely.
But the evidence for it, you don't, the outsiders like me don't really see. But the evidence, like you were saying before, is Eddie Jones spent a huge amount of money on the World Cup and got nothing. And then you kind of go, oh, well, they would have known about that 5 months before I did. And they also know that nothing's coming into their coffers. But, yeah, no, it's great, isn't it? It's really cool news, and it's really cool that it's Cadbury. You know, it's not just a random bank or investment opportunity. It's a really public product, and I think that will do world of wonders for the Wallaroos as well.
Exposure, money, and, yeah, it'll be exciting to watch. I mean, there is clearly a growing appetite for women's rugby. I mean, you only have to look at the Super Rugby W semi-final, how many thousands of people turned up to the Drua game out there. And, of course, all of the Matildas matches outside of this code, 12 matches sold out. And we're not talking small venues here. We're talking 80,000 venues, 50,000-plus venues.
Can we just say, well, I've got the opportunity, Matildas came out this morning because Australia's going to host the AFC, the Asian Confederation Women's Cup. And guess who's not on the list to host stadiums? Victoria.
That's AFL.
Is that because their large venues also host AFL?
I think that was the reason, yeah.
Yeah, the stated reason.
Is it New South Wales, Queensland, and New South Wales, Queensland, and WA? Yeah.
Yes. Who also? Those three states make up the majority of the Australian men's cricket team. So, let you draw your own conclusions, there, listeners.
Bloody hell, Hartman.
So, Super Rugby W's finals this weekend. How bloody good, Nathan. Tell me more about it.
So it's a rematch of the final from 2 years ago. Waratahs and Drua. As Nick alluded to, massive crowd in at Suva to watch Drua get over the Force. Just ran away with it at the end there. I think the Force were disappointed that they just blew a couple of chances, but Fiji just too strong in the end. And then Waratahs sort of answered that with their own dominant performance. Just their back three are just amazing. You know, Desi Miller, Matt Stewart, Caitlin Hall just carved them up, and yeah, sets up a really exciting final. So on Sunday, 2 p.m., you know, a bit of Sunday rugby, get around it, and yeah, it's just going to be a great game.
How good is it? I actually reckon if you're both a Force and a Brumbies fan, you would be pretty happy with those results. I mean, the Force, maiden finals berth, that team looked great. First win over Queensland. I reckon if they keep the investment going that they have, a combination of that, those really great international talent plus, you know, really good local talent. I mean, I reckon we're going to see so much from Samantha Wood. She's amazing. I could watch her play every single day. I reckon the Force, it's not going to be a matter of if they make a grand final, it's really a matter of when, because they were the big improvers this year. Similarly, the Brumbies, I reckon the Brumbies have really advanced their program well. Interesting decision to play at Ballymore, Nathan. I know that obviously I get the subtext and the reason behind it, because I know that the women's national program is based out of Ballymore now. And honestly, it is a great venue. It's a perfect sized venue, but of course, you know, if it's a New South Wales hosted final, you would hope that they'd be playing out of somewhere in New South Wales. Obviously, my initial thoughts was either going to be go to Allianz or even somewhere like Leichhardt or Concord or somewhere like that, where you can make it a bit more of a festival atmosphere, was my thoughts. But
I mean, the New South Wales, New South Wales in me says Leichhardt would have been awesome for it. Like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
It's ground for rugby, but I mean, like, Ballymore's the home of women's rugby. Like, it's one of those things where you sort of using the facility sort of whilst it's still, you know, still sort of, not still coming together, but it's still sort of fresh and brand new and has that history behind it. And, like, obviously there would have been the hope that, you know, Queensland would make the finals, having, you know, come so close last year, so now run last. Not on a plan.
Can I be cynical? They don't have to rent out Ballymore.
rent it out.
Yeah.
But who would you rent it out to?
As in, like, the Reds under wouldn't have to rent it out for two.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You'd have to rent out Leichhardt.
They rented out Allianz for the semi final, so I don't think cost was an issue.
That's just my kind of feeling why they would.
Cynical.
Raquel, can I ask two questions? One is, why have the Brumbies in the Super Rugby W not done as well as the Brumbies men's, considering that the Brumbies is such a system and process oriented rugby team?
Basically, because the entire Brumby strategy in the past has been, you know, turning these second or third choice players from your bigger states and turning them into superstar talent. And whilst there are some superstars down there, Fatale Naleka is one, you know, who's come from Penrith, signed to the Brumbies, killed it ever since. Pesi Palu, Tanya Naden, these type of players. The New South Wales, like Waratahs, has been very good at just keeping their key core Wallaroos players. Like, you've got seasoned internationals who are comfortable coming off the bench, knowing that they are willing to, they are doing it for a title. They can, you know, enjoy the success. Where maybe in you know, Super Rugby Pacific level or Super Rugby level in the past, those players that might not have got the chance to come off a, you know, maybe would have been unsettled by the fact of, you know, being at that ceiling of coming off the bench, would have gone down and, you know, maybe been a bit hungry and sort of got that 5 to 10% more of the Brumbies that turn, you know, losses like last week into wins.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense to me. My second question is, and I guess it's to both of you, where would you see the medium term future of Super Rugby W?
Well, I think the medium-term future is that right now, as much as I think the competition is continuing to grow and improve each year, and Nathan, I hope you're in agreement on that one, it's too short. That's the reality is that even though I think the realistic goal would be to extend the competition in some way, shape or form to the point where the players getting a little bit more game time leading into the Pacific Four Series, which I think is it's a fantastic idea, the first way to get a bit more game time for the wallet for our women's players at international level, which usually has been playing in May. I think if they were to drop it back to the June-July window, you'd have a bit more luck there, which would open up more time for competition. I know that, realistically speaking, the long-term goal was to merge the competition.
It's kind of weird that it's not aligned with the men's window, right?
Well, I think you'd have a situation like if the women, like I kind of don't mind the idea of the Pacific Four Series having its own time to shine, because, I mean, I'll tell you this, I certainly am watching a lot more women's Six Nations when I know that it happens straight after the men's Six Nations, and it takes up the rugby limelight appropriately, because sometimes if you have too much going on at the same time, you just don't get the chance to catch up with as many games as you'd like.
That's a good point. And I think the good thing about, you know, now having women's sport along with men's sport is you can hit different notes throughout the year.
Yeah. Their medium-term future, I mean, I know that, you know, obviously there's other things to take into consideration around financial needs and stuff like that, would be to find some way to extend the competition, or indeed do a merging competition with a merging competition with Aupiki, because there's four teams there. You've got the six teams in Super Rugby W. There's a 10-team competition. You could do it similarly to how Trans-Tasman did, or indeed you merge them together. I know that that's the long-term goal.
Aupiki's only four?
Aupiki's only four.
So anyone doesn't know, the Super Rugby W equivalent in New Zealand is called Super Rugby Aupiki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's the realistic medium term, and we're talking like...
not even medium term, that's short term.
How short term are we talking, like the next 2 or 3 years?
Comfortably, yeah. I would stick my neck out and say I reckon that's comfortably what's going to... Whether that's some kind of crossover between champions or finals playing an extra couple of games or a culminated series, I would... Again, listening to Phil Wall chat about it, he got asked a question yesterday, Monday when we're recording this, and it sounded, the way he talked about it sounded like this was something they wanted in the pipeline sooner rather than later.
I wonder if they'll use it as a template to see what they can do with the men's comp.
I mean, it's coming from a different starting spot, though, because men...
Oh, yeah, obviously, but just to see, hey, can we do two domestic comps and then a Champions League kind of...
Yeah, that sort of final.
I think that's too early to tell in that regard. But
we only have four teams. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, only four teams. So it's got the Blues women, the I think there's a Chiefs side, there's one side side on the South, a Wellington side, and then one side representing South Island.
It's only the Highlanders that aren't represented.
Yeah, it's only the Highlanders.
That's a shame. I was hoping the Chiefs weren't represented, so then... okay. Anyway, let's move on. And let's talk about this weekend coming up. I'll be really quick with this one. So I'm just going to say what I think is the team that will win on the weekend, and you boys can contend with me. How about that? And you can say agree or nah, you're wrong. I'm okay with this one. I'm humble and I'm happy to be vulnerable.
We've been rebelling against the judge all week, all podcasts, so it makes sense to continue it here.
I'm not a judge. I'm like a Chris Hemsworth figure. Okay, so Crusaders, Rebels. Oh, I see the Rebels sneak in this one.
Agreed. Let's keep cheering on the Crusaders' downfall.
Yeah, I mean, everyone forgets that the Rebels have actually beaten the Crusaders in Christchurch once before. Like, it's not outside the realm of possibility.
Of course, that's we all agree, I guess. Tars versus Chiefs. No, it's got to be Chiefs for me. Chiefs are way too good.
I thought we were supposed to do, like, contrary points, which was that the Tars were going
to... No, you don't have to do contrary points. You can say agree or no.
Nathan, surely you're going to go Tars here, mate. Come on.
I wish I could. No, I agree with Nathan. It's just it's a bridge too far.
Mm. All right, I guess Nick agrees with me.
No comment. It's completely true.
PG, okay, so these are the two Friday games for everyone. So Saturday we've got four games starting at 12:45, I believe, official rugby, Super Rugby time. Fiji versus Moana. That has to be Fiji.
Yeah, it's in Lautoka.
Anyone's got to disagree with me there. Hurricanes.
Disagree.
It'll be closer than people think about Hurricanes.
No, I'm gonna go Brumbies on this one for a couple of reasons. I think that Alaalatoa is coming back.
Hey, I'm insane.
Hey, these particular fixtures between the Brumbies and the Hurricanes, the Capital.
Funnily enough, this is the Capital Cup.
Yeah, the Capital, whatever we call it. Yeah, that's the one. I've actually been pretty good, the clashes between these teams in the last couple of times. And, of course, let's not talk about both quarterfinals in the last 2 years, which the Brumbies have both won in Canberra. I actually think with a couple of cavalry coming back, I know the Hurricanes are still to drop a game this year, but I don't know. I reckon there is something about the Brumbies in Canberra against the Hurricanes specifically.
Remember when the Hurricanes almost lost to the Reds? What a crazy time.
Yeah, it was a good game. Really good game.
Highlanders versus Force. So Force playing the Durs and Dunedin. But this is really tight. Oh, I want to say Highlanders. I don't want to say that. Sorry, I feel
forced. You disagree.
I'll take Force. Yeah, I reckon they keep rolling. Like, they got, I like Beal, Rodder coming back. They were great.
Isn't that amazing? They've got enough. Beal played the best he's played in 4 years, I reckon, that game.
Amazing. He that so controlled, so poised. Like, anyone that watched Ramek knew was informed, but didn't think it was going to carry over this quickly to Super level.
Yeah. But it's kind of great. I think they've. It's actually really good signing, obviously in hindsight, because he is so hungry.
The problem for me is that the Force are so inconsistent week to week. That's the problem right now. So.
I don't even think they're inconsistent. They've been disappointing most of the season.
Yeah.
Inconsistent last week and beating the Reds.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any time for them to get on a roll, it is now. I'm still to be convinced 100%, honestly. I mean, yes, they beat the Crusaders at home, but the Crusaders are not playing well right now. So,
You're talking about the Rebels and the Crusaders still. We're talking about the Force.
Yeah, no, I keep saying that, eh? I think the Force have been so inconsistent week to week, even though they did grab that win. I am going to go Highlanders right now, just because they've just been the more consistent squad.
Finally, we've got Reds versus Blues. Can't get past the Blues.
Match of the round. If the Reds can beat the Chiefs at home, they can beat the Blues at home.
If Luke's back, Reds win. If Luke's not back, Blues win.
Damn.
Really?
Because now with no Geordie now for the rest of the year, like that 13 hole is massive. So they need Josh Fluke. If he's in, I give him a chance. If not, that's a tough ask for probably someone like Tarjan to start at 12, or a returning James O'Connor, fresh back from injury, to start at 12 and Paisami at 13.
Okay, all right. So I think coming up this weekend, it's a great round of fixtures. We talked about it before. Like, this is not only fairly evenly matched, I'd probably say the easiest one to pick is Tars and the Chiefs, but I can't believe this would be a great round of Anzac weekend fixtures. But let's pick out, and we can't pick the same one, but what's your game of the round? Nick, the only one you can't pick is Brumbies versus Hurricanes.
Oh, you bastard. It has to be Reds Blues. It has to be Reds Blues. I think the in comparison with a lot of the other games, particularly Australian derbies, Australian Kiwi derbies, I think right now it's game looms as just such a compelling clash, because I think the key way that game's decided is physicality. It's really if the Reds are able to match up at the Blues in terms of the physical contest, they can win it. I genuinely believe they can win it. So and where better? How good would it be to have to really grab a big scalp like that? If they can do it against the Chiefs, they can do it against the Blues.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. If they can beat the Blues, you said the Chiefs, that's the Tars. I don't know where your mind's going today, I think. We're talking about the
Reds. I'm saying if the Reds can beat the Chiefs, which they did, they can beat the Blues.
Oh, okay. I think you're right. I think if they can beat the Blues, everything's blown open. I think actually, you know, if the Brumbies beat the Hurricanes, not everything's blown open. But if it's Reds versus Blues, maybe if the Tars beat the Chiefs, everything's blown open. Actually, Nathan, I'm going to change my question. Yeah. What game could blow everything open?
I think you're correct at Waratahs Chiefs there. I think that blows it open. But honestly, I think Reds Blues blows it open. If the Reds win, then that's considering the sort of the trend they've been on and before this Highlanders game, that blows it open like anyone can win.
Yeah.
It's a safe answer, but...
Well, so Nick said Red vs. Blues, this is game of the round, but you can't pick that one as well. What's your second pick?
If I can't pick Brumbies Hurricanes as well?
No, yeah, you can.
Oh, the Brumbies Hurricanes, 100%.
Damn you!
Yeah, no, that was common. I mean, it is though. Again, it's as you said yourself, it's the match of the round.
I think Crusaders versus Rebels, because Rebels are coming fourth, and they are the second best Australian team at the moment, according to the ladder. And we talked about this last week, Nathan. They're probably the best Australian team at the moment, which is wild. I don't know how that works. But I think if they beat the Rebel or the Crusaders, and especially the Brumbies, who are likely, Nick, to lose to the Hurricanes, I think That'd be crazy. Who would have thought about that? That's a great story. If it was any other sport in Australia, people would be writing essays about it. The team that is probably going to be cut next year.
Yeah, great. I nearly made that as my the shake-up game. Like, I get everyone sort of talks about how bad the Crusaders have been going, but the fact that if the Rebels can come away with a win in Christchurch, like, that's huge. That'd be a massive kind of statement.
Yeah, it'd be great. I think the perfect is if we, I mean, you say this about any round, but if all the underdogs won, but especially this round.
100%. You need some big, we can't afford from an Australian perspective to have 5 losses.
Yeah, this would be a rugby Chernobyl.
Oh, yeah.
A rugby Chernobyl? Jeez Louise Hartman.
Yeah. That's good.
You can cut that out. I just thought it'd be
fun. Oh, that's staying in. That one's staying in. Jeez Louise Hartman.
This would be a rugby Chernobyl for New Zealand if all the upsets happen this weekend. But yeah, great. All right, boys. It's late on Tuesday night. It's time for us to all go to bed and fantasize about the upcoming weekend of rugby. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Nick.
Didn't even get the chance to shout praises on Lockie Swinton.
We've got another week to get back on the horse and take that horse to the water. And you can ask that horse, you can say, hey, horsey, do you want to have a drink or do you want to swim? Yeah, and it's up to that horse to then realise what he wants to do in his life. So we're looking forward to, like I say, getting back on that horse.
And are you looking forward to getting back on the horse 6 months since we last saw you?
I don't like horses. I can't ride.
Give myself an uppercut.